I'm very happy to be here tonight to see all my friends gathered out here. Sorry that I'm fixing to leave you for a little while, but I'm thankful for this opportunity. I want to take the time now to thank sponsors of this meeting, Mr. McDowell, the McDowell Electric Company, and Mr. McSpadden of the Sixth Street Market, Mr. Morgan, and the others who are sponsored this meeting. I come home the other day from Kansas City, and there were signs over the street, and people passing churches in the city, and I thought, well, we're going to have a meeting here. Then I thank them. I thank the principal of this school for this splendid cooperation he's given to us and these men here. They let us have this gymnasium tonight to have this farewell service. My little church is not quite large enough. I thank them and all the janitors, all that's had anything to do with this service, I want to thank them. And I'm warm in here tonight. We've got a real warm reception, haven't we? And if the Lord is willing, in the morning, I leave for the St. Nicholas Arena in New York City for 5 nights. And from there, my next meeting is in Southern Rhodesia, Africa, South Africa. We go from there to Northern Africa and from there to India and to Palestine. We'll be back home, if the Lord will, the first of next year. And I was talking to the principal of the school a few weeks ago, which told me that when I returned, that we could have the big gym over there for a real meeting sometime. Would you appreciate that? Let's give them a thank you very much. Thank you. I've always wanted to have one of our meetings here at home. There's something about home that, be it ever so humble, there's no place like it is. Home is, I'm always been more or less a rolling stone, as they call it, crossing around over the country. But some of the happiest times of my life when I hear them calling the plane, fasten your seatbelt, we're over Louisville. Now that's nice, and I like that. I think anyone does come back home. My work for the Lord has been evangelistic, and perhaps will be until He calls me home. Now, I want to ask how many of you here will pray for me while I'm gone. Well, I can just hear you. Oh, that is very fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It seems to be my lot now to go into the tribes down in South Africa, helping the missionaries and so forth down there. I trust it'll be a great blessing to many. Now, being it's so warm in here, I try not to speak to you very long. Just want to speak a little on the subject of divine healing. And then we're going to have a prayer line tonight and pray for some of the sick. I've never had but one healing service. That was up at the tabernacle about 2 years ago. And it was so bad, the people standing in the rain and things. So these businessmen of the city said they would see about getting the auditorium if I could come down here. So I told them that I would be glad to do it. And we're sorry now. I see them standing in the hall and up and down the street outside. So we thought maybe it wouldn't be quite so many come out. This little gym will take care of it. But the next time we'll have the big one over on the other side. And I'd like to really, when I come back, maybe to have 5 or 6 nights here in the city for our campaign. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. It makes me feel real good to be home and see people applaud for you and come in for service. And many times, a few years ago, going up and down the street here as a little lad, I I never thought that I would have the opportunity to travel to our Lord. But He is so blessed with services, so, well, went internationally now around the world, and this is my second trip across, and I trust that this time will mean more than the others. Last time I was in Finland, Sweden, England, all through the Scandinavian countries, down to France and Belgium, Scotland, Ireland, there was literally hundreds and thousands of people attending the meeting, sometimes as many as 40,000 at a time, one single gathering. And there were so many healings and things taking place that it would be almost meaningless to speak on. Now, I was just thinking of, just before leaving, I was in Houston, Texas, having a meeting there when I was called to South Africa to fly down and to visit a Miss Florence Nightingale. She's a granddaughter of the late Florence Nightingale, which is the founder of the Red Cross. Many of you know of Florence Nightingale. And this is one of her granddaughters. She's a noted woman in South Africa. She had a cancer, and the cancer was in the stomach, and nothing could be done. It got too much of a hold on her before she realized it. The cancer is more or less deceitful, and she just found out she didn't want to eat very much. She just kept closing off, and when they opened her up, it was impossible to perform the operation, so they just laid her back to die. And closed up the mouth of the stomach until she, or the empty, where the stomach empties into the intestinal tract, closed up there until she couldn't eat at all. They fed her food, of course, in different ways through her veins until they couldn't feed no more. And then they just had to wait for the death to come. And she sent me a picture, and it's one of the most horrible looking sights that I ever seen of a human being. I thought, at the time looking at it, it was more thinner than little Georgie Carter. She's probably here tonight. She weighed 35 pounds when she was here. She'd been in England, laying in the bed for 9 years and 8 months. That moved off of her back for 9 years and 8 months. But she burst her case, and when by vision went down to the place where she lives at Milltown, Indiana, and there went in and prayed for her, and our Lord healed her. And she's never been to bed since for nothing but just a little bit at night. She's perfectly normal and well. A piano player at the Milltown Baptist Church at this time. I wonder if George is in the building tonight to testify. Just stand up, just raise your hand. Miss Carter, if you're here, usually she's usually, I guess she isn't. Oh, here she is. Yes. Yeah. Let's say praise the Lord in this way. Let's raise your hand. 9 years and 8 months without raising from the bed. She was practically 35 pounds. And there was a lady here, I forget just what her name is now. I think it's Weaver. She's a patient of some noted surgeons in the country here. And can you hear me out there? I think the microphone has gone off somewhere. All right, now that's better. I can hear the... Maybe I got something crossed up here. All right. And this Mrs. Weaver was just merely bones. Her doctor had given her until the next day to live. And she was so thin that she couldn't raise her hand hardly for me to shake her hand. While praying for her, the Holy Spirit spoke and told her she's going to be a well person. And I wonder if Mrs. Weaver is sitting present now. Miss Weaver, would you stand up, the one that was healed with cancer in such an awful condition? Are you present now that she could stand inside? Wave your hand to wherever you are. I can't see so many fans perhaps waving if Mrs. Weaver is near. Here's her sister sitting here, yes. Where is she at? She's at home. You're a witness of the case. Let's say thank the Lord for that. Mrs. Marjorie Marvin, 21 years graduate nurse, a cancer that was dying in a hospital in Louisville, where the God's servants, the doctors, had done all they could do for her, and she was brought over to the house. Her husband just brought me in tonight. He said, I don't know whether they're in the building or not. His 90-year-old dad. I wonder if she told Miss Marvin if she could raise up somewhere as a witness of the Lord's grace and power to him. Oh, here she is standing on the door. Oh, you heard it again. She's screaming, going, look at her now. Some of the most noted surgeons in the country had given her up as a hopeless dying. And there she is now in perfect health. Prayer changes things. And this Mrs. Florence Nightingale, it was a similar case to any of those three. There's more sitting here, but I just won't have time to get it. Different ones in the country here. It's an infallible testimony of the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And so this Mrs. Nightingale, when my wife saw her picture, she started weeping. We laid the picture on the floor and began praying. And I said, Heavenly Father, if you will heal this dear person, it'll be a go-like for me to go to Africa. And I just committed it to the Lord, and I was called to King George of England to pray for him with those marvelous throats. I understand by the radio today that he's got some kind of lung trouble now. And on my road over, when we stopped at the International Airport, just out of London, I heard them paging and seeing all the guard out, and when I went up there, some of the church man from the high church there came and told me that Miss Florence Nightingale was just coming ahead of me here in a plane from South Africa, and said, we think she's dying, we can't get her out of the plane. Said, will you come pray for her? And I said, well, I couldn't wind my way through that crowd of people. There were probably, I think there's just around 26,000 people. And I said, how could I ever get to her? I said, you take her to your house, and we're going down to Buckingham Palace, we'll go to Westminster Abbey, and then back up to the Piccadilly Hotel. I said, you call me, and I'll go over to, and pray with her. And I didn't get in that day. And the next day, they called me, and Christian friends, one of the most pathetic sights that I have ever witnessed in my lifetime, I witnessed it then. As many of you boys here that's in the services in the last war, came and their houses were up over the business. And I was taken up to a lovely home where two nurses was waiting on this Mrs. Nightingale. And when I went in, there were several ministers there. Four of my managers went with me. And when we entered into the room, I tell you, I never seen anything quite like it. Even with these women here, Mrs. Carter back there, who was probably lighter in weight, but she's a smaller girl. This girl would have weighed, she'd been 5'6" or 7" tall, but probably weighed in her normal weight 150, 16 pounds, maybe 170, tall, lengthy, like woman. And there she was until she'd withered away. Now, this is a mixed audience, and I'm sure you're regarding as your brother. In her body in here, there was no more to it. Her bosom, her breast had sunk down in beneath her ribs, and when they pulled the sheet off of her, she was so thin, so the skin through the ring of her hip here had come together, and where she was crying, I couldn't hear what she was saying. Some of the nurses got down real low, and she said, tell Brother Branham I want to shake his hand. And when I took a hold, they raised that arm up, and I took a hold of those bones, you'll never know what a feeling went through. A marvel in that condition. And the nurse, though she wanted something else, and I got on close, and so I couldn't understand her. And the nurse told me, she said, tell Brother Branham to ask God to let me die. I can't go like this. And she just withered away. And I couldn't ask for the diet, and she prayed so hard. She told God, she said, if I can just want him to let me come down and pray for her. And she said, if I had ever prayed for her, she knew she'd get well. And such a gallant face like that. And then when I met her, to ask her that God to let her die, that was more than what I thought would be right. And I said to her, I said, sister, I can't ask God to let you die. Let us kneel and pray. And usually in England, it's foggy, without an island light, and the window was up, and I'll never forget this experience. I knelt down to pray, and I those ministers all knelt around, and I started praying. I said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And just as I said that, a little turtle dove flew at the window and began to walk up and down the cell, sill of the window, going, "Coo, coo, coo." And all the time I was praying, he walked back and forth up and down the sill of the window. Then when I said, "Amen," the little fellow spread his wings and flew away. Those ministers raised up and said, "Did you notice?" And before I could say anything, the Spirit of the Lord came and told her that she'd be well. And I got her pictures now after 8 months. I just happened to bring it tonight because that was my whole life to Africa, and she really got the country on fire. There came to be 100,000 people at the first meeting. Here's your picture just before I prayed for her. Can you see it back there? I guess it's coming hard. I might have one of the archers, if they will, to walk over here and take this picture and just make a little round down through there. Now, I will not see her. It was 8 weeks after this. They were speaking to the voice and so forth. And then here's her picture as today. Beautiful. That's Miss Florence Nightingale. Her great-grandmother was the founder of the Red Cross, a really a noted woman. That Teddy, son, would you come get this one also, if you will, and take it right along? Just walk down the aisle and turn sideways. It's been a long time, my dear friend, here in Jeffersonville. Probably no doubt at all, but a few years ago, that some of the people thought I'd mentally slipped when I began to speak of God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. In my heart, there was something that anchored there that I could not get away from. And I know that someday, God would give me the privilege to prove that that was right, because it is the Scripture. And today, I am very happy to be in my hometown with a divine vindication of the truth that's universally known, that the statements that I have made concerning our Lord Jesus as the truth, that God has testified to be the truth. Don't never be weary in well-doing, for you will certainly reap in due season if you faint not. Always do that which is right. And whatever that God has said in His book, you believe that. Or you can hang your soul on any faith of the Word of God. You believe that, don't you? Now, whatever He has promised in the Word, that God will do. For God is under obligation to His Word. Now, it could go on for hour after hour. But you have children, they're standing on the streets, they're in the aisles and outside. And I want to get into the healing service. And before that, I want to speak a little bit on the principles of divine healing before we have a healing meeting. But now, if I never return from Africa, I have no assurance of it. But if I never return back, my Christian friend, I have been truthful and been faithful. And I have served God, and I've done the best that I know how. And I appreciate your all's prayers. Many of you here pray day and night for me. And because that I have been able to do these things for my Lord by His grace, it's been because you have helped me up before the throne of God in prayer. That's the cause of it. I appreciate it, my dear mothers and dads, with all my heart. I'll never forget it. And now, if I should never return, the statement that I have made is certainly vindicated by God to be the truth universally, everywhere throughout the world. Now, remember when I was a little boy, this is for some of the children from here, school, and so forth. No matter if you're trying to do what's right, young man, young woman, do that which is right, and God will bless you. Always do right. You can't be going this way when you're going this way. Always hold to the right, do what's right, and you'll come out right. Now, when I was a little lad, I didn't have too many friends. But I always loved people. I wanted friends. And now by trying to serve God and do all I know to do, tonight I guess I have somewhere 6 or 8 million friends around the world. Is it true what God will do for you if you'll trust Him? Is that right? I'm glad to hear that. Amen. The word amen means so be it. Now, then you say, "Brother Ram, what made your ministry conspicuous?"
This last statement.
When I was a little boy, I was born up here in Cumberland County, Kentucky, a little log cabin. My dear old mother sits here tonight in this auditorium. She was 15 years old when I was born. My father was about 18. The morning when I was born, he was standing with his, tell me, with his hands in the bibs of his overalls, a little old window in the side of the hut. After I was born, the light came into that window. Settled down where I was. Been with me from that day to this. When I was a child, 22 years before this beautiful bridge spanned the river, sitting down in my yard, I've seen the sun go across the river and seen the man that lost their life. My mother thought I was nervous. Right here at Mr. Watson's on the Unity Pike, when I was packing water in two little shirt buckets, out of a bush come a sandal. I was seeing old leaves blowing over and looked up in the tree. Looked like a barrel size going back and forth in the tree. And out of there come an audible voice and said, "Don't you ever smoke or drink or defile your body in any way. There'll be a work for you when you get old." I'm at home. I'm among people. I'm among young ladies that I went with in my young days. I'm amongst boys here, boyfriends that I played together. I ask you today if you ever see me smoke, drink, or be drunk, or defile myself in that way. No, sir. I did not. Not for my goodness, but it's by His mercy. His foreordained will for me to do this. Later on, I become a minister. You very well remember the time when the star appeared down here on the river, that light. It's appeared, they've got it now hanging in Washington, D.C. The only time in the world we had that time that a supernatural being could scientifically be proven, proven by the FBI, that it was absolutely a supernatural being. It comes into the news. It's right here at the platform now. And it's not me. I have nothing to do with it. It's the angel of the Lord. And He's here now. And a man can come through this country, heading to anything. Minister can speak of anything. Man is subject to making mistakes and telling stories. Man's word is just a man's word. But when God speaks that it's so, then you believe it because it is so. God's word will be worth more in the next few minutes than all the words that I could say. I was born, I believe that gifts and callings are without repentance. How many Christians believe that? It's not what you try to work yourself up to, it's what you're born to be. See, back in the making, you begin in your germ of life and become germatized your great-grandfather. That's scripture. Levi paid tithes in the loins of Abraham, his grandfather. All right, but your germ, your life, your soul, begin in the creation of God in the beginning. Did Jesus tell His disciples, "I knew you before the foundation of the world"? Called us, ordained us to be ministers of the gospel and so forth. It's a foreordination of God. Now how many now in here and working? Now what? Jesus said, thank you, Teddy. Jesus said, "The things that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father." Is that right? Do you believe? So, how you sick people, look here for a minute. Do you believe that that is the truth? That Jesus said in St. John 14:7, or in 14:12, "The things that I do shall you also, and greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father." And Jesus plainly stated, now listen, and outside I hope you hear it, Jesus plainly stated that He could do nothing of Himself, but what God showed Him to do in the vision, that's what He done. Is that right? Now let's see how it works. After He made His statements of who He was, Philip was converted, He went to find Nathanael. And when He found Nathanael, He said, "Come see who I have found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And what did Nathanael say? Now you Bible teachers here. So what did He say? He said, "Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? A mean city, wicked." That word is Jeffersonville. And then said, so then He said, "Could any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He said, "Come and see." And when He came up to where Jesus was, Jesus was in the prayer line. And when Nathanael came up, Jesus said, "Behold, there is a light indeed in whom there is no God." In other words, you're a good Christian man, a truthful man.
And Nathanael was surprised, and he said, "When did you know me, Rabbi, or teacher, Reverend?" He said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you." Is that scripture? Now, what if Philip would have said, or Nathanael would have said, then, like many people said, it's reading your mind, it's mental telepathy. Or then the trick would have, the thing would have been done. But he said, "Thou art the Son of God." Is that right? When the woman was at the well, he told her her sin, how many husbands she had. Is that right? You know where a thief was, had a coin in his mouth. God showed him where this man was laying with the disease. And he did all things as the Father showed him to do. Now, if I come, my brother and sister, tonight, and told you that the spirit of some great artist was in you, you'd expect me to put a canvas out on the place and paint a picture like the artist would paint. Is that right? If the spirit of the artist was in you. And if I told you the spirit of some criminal, John Dillinger, was in you, then you'd expect me to have big guns and be an outlaw like John Dillinger was. If his spirit is in me, I'll act like him. And if we are Christians, and the Spirit of Christ is in us, we do the work of Christ. Now, as I said before, I can do nothing at all. But what he showed, now in the meeting, sorry, I was pulling that brother. In the meeting, I see it by vision. I cannot heal, but I see what's been wrong with the patient. I can tell them by the Spirit of God what to do and what will be the outcome. It'll go back and tell you the things back in your life. Then it'll bring it up here. If you know that's true, then from here out it'll tell you what will be and watch and see if that isn't true. It never fails. Now, for another case. A few weeks ago, I was standing in Los Angeles. Can you hear me in the back? Raise up your hand if you can. I was in Los Angeles, California, having meetings. Now listen, here's just the way the meeting takes place before we start. I pray, I fast. I just come out of the meeting. I've been gone now for 2 days. I've been home, been back to the house a couple times. Go off to myself and pray. Not eating, fasting, waiting. And there's something comes down, takes over my life, my body, and I'm not myself. No more that light. Can you say, "See what a light I am"? That bulb isn't making light. It's the current going through the bulb that makes light. And before it would be any light, there has to be a switch to make a contact. And then the light comes forth. Now when he speaks through me, I know what he tells me. I see it just like I'm looking here. But when he doesn't speak, I can't say nothing. Are you in the meeting? There, I just walked into a platform. And as I walked in, I looked, I saw a stack of hay. This materializes in front of me. I began to speak about that stack. I seen a little boy get hurt on a hay frame. I seen years later selling books from a wheelchair or something. I seen a great man in a big office where a man wore kind of round collar. Begin to speak of it. My manager come to me with one of the ministers and said, and I seen the man sitting back out in the audience. I said, "There sits the man, got a wheelchair or something." I said, "There sits the man right there." He done it. So someone come to me and said, "Do you know who that was?" One of my managers. I said, "No." He said, "That's Congressman Upshaw." "Give me your name." I said, "No, sir." He said, "You run for president." I said, "I don't remember." And he said, "He's been an invalid, crippled for 66 years. I said, "Yes, sir." And so, he said, "Well, what's going to happen?" I said, "I don't know." I see his wife praying with him. I saw the turn to say, "Bring the next person to prayer line." And when the next person started to come, I looked and I heard before me stood a doctor. The young fellow wearing Carter shell glasses, had one of those, whatever it is, that he wears on his head to look in the throat. He was disturbed. He was shaking his head. I said, "I see a thin doctor. He's shaking his head. He's just performed an operation on a little colored girl. It's paralyzing. And she's paralyzed from her shoulders down." I turned back around and I said to my brother, "Bring your patient." And then way down, way in, I heard someone crying, and I looked, and here was a hospital stretcher like these along here, and an old colored woman crawling on her knees, coming behind screaming, "God be merciful to me." And I looked, and there was a little colored girl that I'd seen the vision. She said, "Lordy mercy." She said, "Pardon, you told just exactly what kind of doctor that was. Is God going to let my baby live?" I said, "Auntie, I don't know." I said, "I can only speak what I see. And she said, oh, God, have mercy, kept crying, and little thing is paralyzed. She said, that's been about 2 years, hasn't it? And she said, that's what it's been, sir. I turned around to call the patient. I looked, and I see something in front of me, and I seen something materializing. It looked like a road. But it was a street. And going down that street went that little colored girl with a doll on her arm walking like this. Brother, sister, all devils in hell couldn't stop it then. I said, Auntie, your faith has saved the child. This whole, I've seen it in hundreds of cases, thousands of cases. And here before you tonight, I give any person leave. Did you ever at one time ever see it say anything but what was perfectly that way? How many of you meetings have seen it? Let's see your hands. Raise your hands everywhere. There it is. Every time it's perfect. For it's God. Not a man, it's God. And it can't be wrong. Then, notice, she said, is my baby healed? I said, yes, ma'am. And she caught the little thing to the hand, the little baby raised up to his arms, grandmother got up, walked out of the building, perfectly whole. People have been fainting, and the meeting went on in a few minutes. I said, I see the congressman. He's got a pin-side suit on. He's healed. And he was dying himself like this. After being a cripple for 66 years, Congressman Willie Wetzel, former congressman, a banker, senator of Georgia, run for president because of his religious righteousness of not believing in whiskey, he was defeated in the race. God honored his faith, and tonight, sitting on the platform, is Congressman Willie E. Upshaw, that was a cripple for 66 years, perfectly whole year before. Come here, Mr. Upshaw, my brother. Here's a man that was a cripple for 66 years. God bless you very much.
You don't know how happy I am to put my arms of fellowship around this dear man of God, and what he means has meant to me. I know he doesn't mind if I say this word to you. The night the meeting closed, in which my healing came, he authorized, he knew that I wanted to cover the 6 states that I have not yet covered since I got off of bed, where I stayed 7 years. He authorized an offering to buy a car, for he knew I had given away all I'd ever made, helping people in distress. I think he'd be happy now, as he started it, to know that that car just lacks $220 of having enough to complete it and start out on our complete trip. And if everybody who shakes hands with Mrs. Upshaw and me tonight will have a dollar in it or something else, you're far more than covered because you put gasoline money besides. Or if you can't do that, send it to Hotel Times Square, New York. Remember this, you who are stressed out here and want to be healed, step out as God helped me to do. I said, God's voice is spoken, and Brother Bannon said, the congressman is healed. I said, it's the voice of God. And I've been the happiest man since I threw away my crutches and started out to witness to his healing as well as his saving power. The happiest man that's ever been in Jeffersonville since Columbus discovered America.
Let's go praise the Lord for the old brother. He's just 85 years young. Look like if he had got healed, then he would have gotten healed back there when he was about 17, doesn't he? But God, down through the ages, held it back. And now he testified there in Congress, and Billy Graham's going up there in a meeting. Don't you see how God's got his body working this day? Can't you see it? Then you see the supernatural where the man lay there and was a wheelchair patient on crutches for all those times. And now, a world-sound man, everything 85. Abraham was 125 years old before Isaac was born to him. God gave him the promise, and Abraham testified of it for 25 years before Isaac ever come on earth. Is that right? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are still true. Now, dear Christian people, I feel that I'll be back to this city here again shortly, or a meeting that'll last for several weeks, or several days, I should say. God be willing. So hot. And you can't hold attention to people when it's so awfully hot and crowded and jammed. I've tried that sometimes in meetings for many, many thousands and standing, and I can't. Pray for me. I love you with a Christian love. Or in my soul. And the things that I have said to you tonight concerning divine healing and his power, they are true. They are true with my Bible here at my house. They're the truth. I can make no one well. But I want to ask you something. There was lepers one time set at the gate. They said, why do we sit here till we die? Let's do something about it. Make an effort. Get up. The doctor's done all he can do. Everything's done all they can do. The next effort, God's done all he can do. And the next thing is to do is for you to act. And let your faith go to work in God's work. Now look. Everybody up here. How many here have agreed to dream? Let's see your hand. All right, what's all normal people do? That's your subconscious, we're talking. Now listen to this. Your subconscious. Here's your conscious, and here's your subconscious. You ever see people didn't dream a dream at all? They're way back. Now, I believe God deals in dreams. That's right. King Nebuchadnezzar and Joseph and many of them and so forth, we dealt with dreams. But a seer isn't that way. Now, we call a prayer. Then out of that, some of you here, how many have you got a prayer card? I see you raise your hand. Oh, my. All right. I'll tell you this. If you do this, if you will look this away to me, do you believe, first of all, do you believe in thinking? That's kind of a hard way for me to ask this coming up here in this little hot room and people standing and children crying and so forth, try to chop off the message like this. But I shall speak now and let God testify. If I told the truth that God sent this to you people, not to me, it's to you. That's just a man sitting right back down the mound. One of the best doctors there is in this country. Told him a few days ago he had cancer through the liver. He's dying. He never raised it. Just happened to see the man now. He was taken to the liver to a very fine specialist by a man, a doctor here in the city. He's a friend of mine that said to do it. Got him over there, and my doctor friend called me up, said the man was dying. Cancer in the liver. And the man went now to two great institutions, and they both turned him down. And I love the man. He was converted to my meeting. And he was rubbing his hands. His wife was rubbing her hands and crying. And I was sitting on the side of my bed here a few mornings ago, and was going to go away before daylight. And while I was sitting there, I happened to look standing in front of me, and there stood a very green, worm-eaten apple, nodding. I thought, well, where? And it's just surreal, just like you look at it. I reach out and I see it move. And I knew it was a vision. And here come another one, and another one, and another one. Five of them came. Then a great big apple came down from heaven and eat up those five naughty apples. And the angel of the Lord spoke inside the room and said, this is concerning your brother Hall. I said, Brother Hall went to him and said, don't you worry. You've had how many weeks have been sick there? Oh, he said, five. I said, but the time is coming for your deliverance. He was down above me just like this picture here. And here he is sitting in the building tonight, eating, going on in business, praising God. Let's say praise the Lord. Hold your hands, Brother Hall. There he is out there. That's the man. A few weeks ago. And doctor, I see you sitting back there. There's a man who's going to die the other day. Let's say praise the Lord. Amen. Worthy of all praises. Thank you, sir. That's the minister from Milltown. The same place where by a vision. I never heard of your time alive. I was sitting here, Mr. Wright, another man sitting here. I was at a little church. Maybe I never heard of a sea of vision. I heard a lamb crying, Milltown, Milltown. I didn't know what was that. I went out, and Mr. Wright told me what was that, and I went out there. I didn't know what to do. I bought a little soapbox and got a preach on the only street corner. The Lord told me to go up on the hill. And I went up there and there was a big Baptist church. I belonged to the Baptist church. And I said, or anybody else? Said, no. Said, some trouble come up and they haven't used it for nothing. I said, Lord, if you let me go in that church, open the door. The man came by in a few minutes and opened the door for me. One in 12 meetings, still I wondered. Mr. Hall came in that the very first night and was converted. He's a pastor down there now. Then I thought, that's not the land. And a few days later, someone told me there was a lady down below the hill, a little girl, and I got one of my books and was reading it, and she was dying in the bed for 9 years and 8 months. I went out there and had prayer for her and her mother. And look, listen to this. I went away, went on out, finished my revival. 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, I come back and had another service. She wanted to be baptized. She hadn't been out of bed. And I went home with Mr. Wright, sitting here for dinner. After I had a baptismal service, she cried all day. She seen this Nato girl here. She may be here to tonight from the Methodist Church up I forget the name of the place up here above Salem. Crippled in her right hand, right foot and left hand. All the writers to draw her up. She's healed by vision. See, it's not what I do, it's what he showed me. I can't do nothing. What he tells me, I just go say it and do it like he tells me. If my own mother laying here dying, I couldn't say nothing. But he was telling me. How many understand now? It's not me. It's God. I can't do nothing. He tells me. And then, that's what the angel Lord told me when he entered that green field. He said, you're to take this gift to the peoples of the world. You'll be praying for kings and great men. Look at it. I said, well, I'm uneducated, sir. And he was a man, not just a shadow. He was a man, weighed about 200 pounds, had dark hair to his shoulders, had his arms folded like that. Said, you were born for this purpose. And I said, sir, they wouldn't believe me, I'm uneducated. He said, as it was with the prophet Moses, he's giving 2 signs to vindicate his ministry, so will you be giving 2 signs. He said, one of them will take hold of a person's hands, and not you speak, but I'll speak through you and tell you what's wrong with the patient. The next thing, you'll go back like our master did, and tell them the things that they've done in their life and committed and caused, like our master did. Well, that was hard for me to stand here before my friends and Jeffersonville and around and make that first statement. But when Miss Marjorie Morgan there, the first one to come in, laying there so helpless, cancer eat her up, and send her 80 x-ray treatments, and the doctor said that cancer wrapped around her intestines like the root around the tree, wrapped around, and there she was laying there. I walked down, took her over her hand, and I turned it loose. I looked at her, and the Spirit of the Lord came down and told her she'd live, and there she is. That's just one of the thousand. People have the insane institution and so forth. He promised it. He'll do it. He's God. And down there at the old town that day, I went on out to Mr. Wright's feast supper. Here he sits, right here. And I said, Brother Wright, I'm going to go up on the hill to pray. And I went up there and knelt down in the bushes, and I was praying, stickers sticking me. It seemed like I couldn't quit praying. I heard the dinner bell ring. I know what Mother Wright wanted to come. I kept on praying, praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And all at once, here come that light, coming right down to a dogwood bush. Shined right down on me, and I heard a voice say, go over the way of horror. That was enough. Then hot party got hunting for me. I jumped across the fence running towards my car, and it landed on my arms, and Mr. George Wright standing there. And him and Mr. Grace, a man from Texas, had just come up, and his wife had been healed. They want me to say, you need to tell me that Georgia Carter will be healed? Why, her little limbs was like a broomstick up here around her hip. I said, she'll be healed in the next 30 minutes. If it isn't so, then brand me a false prophet and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. We got in the car. The same time her mother had got so seriously, her little girl had been crying. She'd laid there and sat there by her daughter for 9 years and 8 months till she turned gray. And so she went in with praying in the room and asking God, what had happened? I'd come through the country and made that statement to the girl, and the girl was all upset and so forth, and she claimed she'd seen a vision of somebody coming. She thought it was her daughter next door coming down. She looked and it was Jesus standing there, a shadow on the wall. He said, who's this coming? And she seen me get out of the car with this same Bible over my heart, but she could tell my hair being standing there and knew it was me coming. Said, who's this? And she jumped up to run and tell George about it, and no sooner she got the room, the door closed, and I was walking out of the car. God works on both ends of the line. God works on time. Walked into the room under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, stripped out, down there, left down to where the girl was. Put my hands up on her and I said, Georgie, even Jesus Christ, who you love, has appeared to me back there. But Mr. Wright and told me, come lay hands on you and you'd be well. Rise up in the name of the Lord Jesus. And without even enough strength, they couldn't even put a bedpan on the girl who hadn't used a draw sheet for years. There's her mother. That's right. And she was in such a condition. And there they showed me a bed the other day, and I was down there, all the paint rubbed off of it, where you hold her hands and cry and pray, right there, holding, rubbing it, right, and she couldn't get her hands back there, and when she goes across, she goes, in the spirit, because when her mother would hold her up, walked up there, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and pronounced that girl healed, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, she rose up from there, went out and sat down and blessed the grass and the trees, and played the piano, and there she sits tonight as a perfect witness. And God, who I stand before now and will judge me at the great day when I stand before every one of you, know that hundreds times hundreds of those cases have happened, and there's never been one of them fail away. And it shall not fail tonight. God won't let me down when I'm standing here before my people who have been raised. I know He'll be here to meet me. That's right. Is that testimony true, Mrs. Carter, wherever you are? If you'll raise your hand, wherever you are, that's just raise your hand. Mr. Wright, is that testimony true? Yeah. Anywhere, friends, it could be 1,000.